But I want to jump into the word of the Lord with you. And let me share three testimonies. Last night, I still received a testimony. That's how good God is. First one says, good afternoon, Pastor. There are too many testimonies in this walk with God. As of recent, God is in the purpose of delivering, restoring, healing, and showing up to his children. On the day of Keys to the Kingdom Conference, 24 October, we had a meeting with the exec team of our company stating that all fuel cards will be stopped. I had never paid for fuel from 2003 at all my companies I was employed at. This was a benefit. On the 28th, we had another meeting and was notified of S189 and that I was affected. I was devastated. I had fear, anxiety, and every emotion running through my head. After speaking at the same day to Mom and Dad, which is Bishop and Mom, I built up an inner strength and sought the Lord with my request of what next, Lord? You direct, you lead, and you take over. In November was the teaching of the way of favor. I declared and confessed on favor. I listened to the testimonies, and in my heart, I knew my time is coming. In December, the year of opportunity, 2025, was proclaimed, and my thoughts was, before 31st December, I will get some news. On the 13th of January, I received a WhatsApp message that headcount was approved at a competitor, and I thanked God, but still unsure as approvals for my offer was still debated. On the 6th of January, I received my offer, which I agreed to. On the 17th of January, I received my letter of appointment and start date of 1st February. There was no break in employment. God was on time, and he showed up strong on my behalf and my family. I am sharing dates as I want you to be encouraged that God is on time and the desires of your heart he will meet. I want to thank you, Pastor Adrian, Pastor Janine, for strengthening our faith by confessing the declarations and taking part in the things that have been set like fasting and prayer, writing down our needs, and being participants on all church activities. Number two, greetings, Pastor Adrian. I share this testimony because God has been faithful to me and my family, especially with my daughter through her varsity journey. Last year, she completed matric and achieved a bachelor's pass with the distinction. She applied at several universities and bursaries and received responses from UCT and UJ. She chose UJ since the qualification approved by UCT was not her preferred choice. Though her bursary application was declined, we continue to pray and trust in God, our Jehovah Jireh, the ultimate provider for his continued provision. Our daughter only made accommodation application as we fasted, prayed, and placed the applications in prayer to unfold. We remain steadfast in prayer and trusting God. Last Sunday, when Pastor Adrian and Bishop Lazarus opened an altar call to bring our offering, I placed a seed in her hand to bring to the altar. Before the service ended, she received a missed call. She returned the call after church. It was the student accommodation office asking if she's still interested to proceed with the application. Yesterday, she received a message confirming accommodation approval and inviting her to orientation. I share this testimony to give glory to God and to thank him for his faithfulness. Through every trial, he has never left nor forsaken us. I pray that this testimony encourages our brothers and our sisters to continue waiting on the Lord and give him all the glory. This is the last one. Hi, Pastor. Hope you are well. Sorry for bothering you this evening. I would like to share my testimony with you on God's faithfulness over my life. Listen to this. For years, I've struggled with the idea of tithing. It always felt like a daunting task, especially with the financial difficulties my family faced. But this year, after receiving an unexpected increase at work, I made the decision to take a leap of faith and tithe my full 10%. During our time of consecration and fasting, and on Friday, something incredible happened. Earlier that day, I faithfully paid my tithe, still battling thoughts of whether I was making the right decision. But I chose to trust God. Later that same day, when I least expected it, I received news that I had won a large sum of money. I was overwhelmed, speechless, and in awe of God's faithfulness in a time where I was faithful in my fast. But that wasn't all. My daughter had been searching for a job, and just this Wednesday, she had an interview with the law firm. To our surprise, she was called back immediately and started work on Friday. I am reminded of Malachi 3 and 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God truly provides and He rewards obedience. I'm so grateful for His faithfulness and favor over my life and my family. Come on, put your hands together for that. Pastor Nigel and I, we were in conversation this week, and we did say it was already from the time of October when there's been a shift in this house. There's been a shift in the atmosphere of our expectation of what the Lord will do. We have solidified it in everything over this past couple of months in how we've been preaching and teaching the word of the Lord. It is truly the year of opportunity. And if it's the year of opportunity, remember Revelation 3 and verse 8. Behold, I set before you an open door. No one can shut. Let the testimonies flow, O Lord, in this house. Let the testimonies flow. There is a harvest of abundance that we are going to partake of in 2025. I'm going to ask the team to help me. Last week, Bishop released this word. And when he released this word, I said to the Lord, what kind of faith will it take for us to see the year of opportunity? What kind of faith will we have to practice, to step into, to see all that God has for us in 2025? Team, are we ready with the video?
Saying to the church, the harsh winds surrounding you from the past seasons of your life have dismantled your core, has dismantled your faith, has dismantled your walk with God. The harsh winds of life has dismantled your fellowship. Even right now, you don't even read the word of God. It's because the harsh winds have dismantled your relationship with God. The force of this wind has caused you to become cold. And to many here this morning, the force of this harsh wind has silenced your faith. That you don't even talk about Jesus anymore. That you don't have a desire to call on God anymore. But the Lord says this morning, there is a different type of wind that's about to blow. Amen. It is a different type of wind that's going to come and usher this church. It's the wind of revival. It's the wind of a new life. I'm about to breathe, says God. I'm about to breathe the fresh breath of God upon your lives. That fresh breath is going to renew your strength. That fresh breath is going to wipe away the tiredness and the fatigue from your life. It's the fresh wind of revival, says God. He's blowing this wind into the areas of your thoughts because you doubted Him. you alone. He's blowing this fresh wind of revival upon your heart because you feel so distant away. But God is saying this fresh wind is going to revive you. This fresh wind is going to restore everything that the cankerworm has eaten, everything that the locust has stolen, everything that the devil has robbed you of. This fresh wind is going to bring back the first love of God upon your heart and upon your life. And God is about to equip every one of you. He's not going to leave the young. He's not going to leave the old. He's not going to leave the righteous. He's not going to leave the unrighteous. He's not going to leave the saint. And he's not going to leave the sinner in this house. As long as you're around those four walls, he's going to allow you and he's going to call you to your divine purpose. The Lord is saying to you today, you will find your place in life. Amen. You will find your purpose in life. You will know who you are and for the purposes that God has created you. You will find your purpose in life. While every head is bowed.
What kind of faith do we need for revival? What kind of faith do we need for the year of opportunity? So we're starting our monthly series and our theme on faith forward. So the faith for the year of opportunity. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, and we read from the Amplified Version of the Bible. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed in, trusted, relied on God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness, right living, right standing with God. It was credited. Some translation says, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So already we understand it is accounting terms that it is credited to us. His faith was credited to him as righteousness. So the question then further to that is, what is faith? Now we all know the writer of the Hebrew book gives us in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, from the Amplified again. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things that we hoped for, things that have been divinely guaranteed for us, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So when we read about faith in the Bible is emphatic about what faith means. It means that the God of the Bible is the real object of true faith. That is why revival does not start with how we do things. Revival comes out of his hand. Opportunity does not start with how we orchestrate life. Opportunity comes out of his hand. The Bible says the God of this Bible that you read is the real object of true faith. The Bible on faith says faith in God must be defined as a personal relationship with God. a personal relationship with Him. This is according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we must have what? A personal relationship with God. Then number two, an intellectual relationship with Him. An intellectual relationship says, but we must believe that He is. That's why we go back again. And when we go back to it, it says to us, the God of the Bible is the real object of true faith. Therefore, we must believe that He is. Then it's an emotional relationship with Him. He is a rewarder. He rewards our faith. He rewards our belief, our trust, our hope in Him. Then it becomes a willful relationship, which means if I'm in a personal relationship with Him and I have this intellectual understanding of my relationship with Him and I have this emotional grounding of my relationship in Him, then I am willful in how I serve Him. I'm willful in how I live before Him. And then it says, you will diligently seek Him. So our faith in God is firstly a personal relationship, an intellectual relationship, an emotional relationship, a willful relationship. The Bible on faith says, having no doubt that He exists, that He has accomplished everything that the word of the Lord tells us, He will do everything according to what the word of the Lord says. That's why at the wedding of Cana, when Jesus, the first miracle He performed was at the wedding of Cana, where He actually turned water into wine. But when Mary addresses the servants that are bringing the pots of water to her, she says, you must do everything He tells you. You must do what? Everything He tells you. How must you do it? As He tells you. We are to do everything the Lord tells us. We are to obey everything the Lord tells us. This implies that the individual has come to know God, to experience God, and to depend upon through a personal relationship with Christ. You know your God. The testimonies we've read shows us there is a God. I met a young man in this weekend. This week I had a few meetings with some young men. I felt it was my week for coaching and mentoring this week. And as I sat with him 10 months ago, he didn't have a job. 10 months ago, he came out of some very bad relationships with what was in his physical and spiritual and emotional life, some very bad connections, no job. He came to see me to bless his car. 10 months ago, he had no car. 10 months ago, his relationship with his family was even bad. His mother and him were at loggerheads with one another. 10 months later, he brings a car for me to bless. Then he tells me, Pastor, on the 1st of April, I'm moving into my own place. Now, that's the beauty of the blessing. But I said this to him, young man, you know who God is now. I said, God has shown Himself to you now. I said, that means, what more must the Lord do? What more do you think God must do in your life? Because He has restored everything you've lost. He's restored your relationships. He's redeemed you. He's a redeemer of time. He's a redeemer of people. I said, now is the redemption of your purpose. Because the things you got is for you to feel good that I have a God. But now He says, walk in your destiny. Walk in your purpose. What more must God do for this church for us to believe? What more? What more must He do in your personal life for you to believe? What blessings the more must He bring into your life for you to understand there is a God in heaven? Personal obedience to God. Always taking God at His word. So what's the key lessons from the scripture verse we read at the beginning about it was credited to faith to Abraham as righteousness? The first thing is this that we read from Romans chapter 4 and verse 1 all the way down is faith, not works, leads to righteousness. You are justified by your faith, not your works. Or even listening and obeying and adhering to the law. Righteousness comes from trusting God, not through human effort or merit. Because when Abraham believes God, the Bible says Abraham was in the land called Ur. Of the Chaldeans, that's where he was in. Now he was in the Old Testament text in terms of the maps. The Chaldeans became Babylon. They became Babylonians and all of those different things. But in our understanding of Abraham, if you read the history of Abraham, I think I've said it before, Abraham's father was an idolater. He worshipped idols. But further to that, Abraham's father was a maker of idols. He sold idols. So this is the setting of Abraham's life. He sees idols, he knows idols, and we can even take it a little bit further. Abraham himself made idols. But there was something different about Abraham. Even though in the midst of a family that worships many gods and a family that profits of making and selling gods, the Bible in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 says, when God spoke to Abraham, he said to him, I want you to leave your father. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave the land that you are in. And I'm going to take you to a new place. And I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And I'm going to make you a blessing. And he gives him all of these covenantal blessings already on his life. Abraham left, not because at that moment in time, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, not because he was already in the faith, because of his righteousness, he left because he believed God. He followed because he believed God. Righteousness comes from trusting God, not through your human effort or through your merit. Faith trusts God's promises, we learn. Abraham believed in God's promise of descendants. Despite he and Sarah being of old age, being unable to conceive, according to Romans 4, 18 to 19, faith involves trusting God's word, even when circumstances appear impossible. Sometime during this month, we're going to call a special time. I want to just stand still for a moment. We're going to call a special time of fasting and prayer in this month because of the following. There are too many of our young couples in our church that have the desire for families. And what we've seen over the last couple of months is either they are struggling, and number two, they are having miscarriages. And then this week we had a 7-year-old from our church pass away. And the Lord said to me, there is an attack on the next generation. So at some point during this month, we're going to call a special time of fasting. And we're going to pray this blessing of fruitfulness of the womb. We're going to pray the blessing of generational blessings for our children to come. We're going to cover our young children in this ministry under the hand of the Lord. Because as it says, Abraham and his wife at that moment in time were far advanced in age. But he believed the promise of God. So if you have a promise of God in your life as a young couple for family, may the Spirit of the Lord quicken your womb in the mighty name of Jesus. That before we even fast and pray, when the doctors tell you, and we have a doctor right in front here this morning, if the doctors tell you we have to take a certain course of action, before even that, the Lord will quicken your womb. Quicken your womb. Touch you and give you the desires of your heart. Number three, faith relies on God's power. Abraham's faith was rooted in his belief that God could do what he promised. True faith acknowledges God's ability to overcome all obstacles. That's what true faith does. Faith that relies on God's power. May you unlock the power of God because of your faith this morning. May you unlock the mercies of God in your life, the goodness of God, because of how you are rooted in the belief that God can do all that He has promised. Faith is strengthened by our perseverance. Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but grew stronger in faith, giving glory to God. Faith develops as we continually trust God through challenges and delays. There may be challenges this year. There may be mountains high and valleys low, but you and I will see through every challenge the hand of the Lord upon our lives. We will see the good of the Lord manifest in all things. Faith is the basis of God's grace. Righteousness by faith is a gift of grace, not something earned. This makes salvation available to all who believe, both the Jew and the Gentile. Faith credits even righteousness to believers today. Abraham's faith serves as a model of for all believers. Just as his faith was credited to him as righteousness, our faith in God, in Christ the King, in the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead for our justification, also credits our faith to us as righteousness. How are we going to develop this faith for the year of opportunity? I'm going to go through this quickly. Number one, hear and trust in God's word. You will receive the notes in the week. Hear and trust in God's word. We are to be led by His word. We are to cultivate a close relationship with God. If you listen to Bishop's video as the team makes their way up, as you listen to Bishop's video, he's called us to a deeper, intimate relationship with God. Number three, we are to practice obedience. Faith grows through action. Obey God's commands, even when it requires stepping into the unknown. The one thing I recognize the enemy does is to make us fearful and anxious because of the unknown. Unknown. At work, you're hearing whispers that they might be retrenching people. Fear of the unknown. You may feel something in your body and you are worried that maybe I've contracted something, fear of the unknown. You're hearing family members are talking about getting a divorce here and a divorce there, fear of the unknown. Maybe in your own relationships, fear of the unknown. If we practice obedience, it means we step into every unknown thing because God is with us. God's hand is upon us. Strengthen faith through trials. Your faith will be made perfect in the trials that you go through. Can I say this emphatically to the church this morning? We are passing every test in 2025. We are coming through every trial with great victory in 2025. I was challenged myself this week. I sat on my bed and I said, Lord, through the ups and the downs, you are still God. Amen. I've been praying this whole week against the fear of the unknown for many people. I said, now the enemy is whispering to even my ears. I said, but this is the year through every challenge and trial, we pass the test. Look at your neighbor, tell them you are passing the test. The trial of your life, you are going to come out of it victorious. Surround yourself with believers. Surround yourself with believers. I did say on New Year's Eve, this is a good year for disconnection. Somebody shared a testimony with Pastor Ron and I. And I want to land the plane with this testimony. On Thursday evening, he said, Pastor is a businessman. He needed 30,000 rand. And he could go nowhere. Now remember, he's fasting and praying 3 days, and the Lord is not answering. Then he takes matters in his own hands. He now believes that the Lord is answering because the Lord shows him a man that he's got connections with. But this man is a king in the underworld. And this man could give him 30,000 rand just like that. No hassles. He's a good friend of this man. He's done work and stuff with this man. But this man is a king of the underworld. And one of the businesses he runs is a school. And the day he goes to school, the Lord now hits him. The Lord convicts him. The Lord says, no. You can't go to the underworld for this that I need to do. He goes to school and there was a young boy at school, he says. And this was one of the poorest children in the school. And this boy, he had to give a bursary, Pastor Nigel, to be in the school. And he says he goes to school and he's disheartened. He comes out of 3 days of fasting, Pastor Mwasim. Disheartened because the Lord now closed the door. He says to this young boy, he says, my boy, don't you have money on you? This is now, and I want us to buy a bunny chow. I don't have cash. Maybe you can buy us a bunny chow. The boy says to him, what do you need, sir? He says, he's being facetious. He says, I need 30,000 rand. The boy says, come talk to my mother. Takes him into the shack area. Walks out with 30,000 rand. Then he shared this, and I shared it on Friday morning with our prayer group. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that don't walk in the council. Blessed is the man that don't sit in the seat. Surround yourself with believers. There is blessing with people that believe. If you're facing difficulty, call on the intercessors of this church. If you're facing difficulty, send a message to people that will pray you through the situation. If you face a difficulty, send a message to your pastor. Send a message to your pastors. Surround yourself with believers and focus on God's character.